Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The self-catering sector is being unfairly scapegoated. That's according to the group representing the sector, as the government plans to crack down on short-term lets. The limit to Airbnb-style accommodation will mean those looking to rent accommodation will need to be registered, with the government saying the new laws will bring 12,000 dwellings that are currently short-term lets back into the long-term rental market. And it comes as some towns around the country look to bring in a tax on holiday homes. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Máire Ní Mhuirchiú, CEO of the Irish Self-Catering Federation, and Peter Flynn, Fine Gael councillor in Westport, who's the Cathaoirleach there. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
Colin. Máire, I might start with you. The government have this register that is due to commence in 2026. Do you have an issue with that, people registering short-term lets?
No, we think the register is a great idea and it should have been in place many years ago. We believe that the government has caused this issue for itself because it doesn't have a register, so it doesn't know exactly how many short-term rentals there are. It's actually the EU is bringing in the register and the government has to have it in place by May of next year. However, to make it complicated, the Department of Housing have said that they want all of us to have STR planning. And many of us small businesses do not have STR planning. It was only usually the large group schemes or self-catering on hotel grounds which got this STR planning before. And really, you know, for us, that is a serious issue.
And why? What's the particular issue with applying for planning?
Because my house was built in the 1960s. It's not suitable for long-term living. It's built at 1960 standards. And if I apply for planning now, it's at today's standards, not at the standard in which the house was built. So we're asking for an exemption for those of us who have been working in the industry for many years for tourist accommodation. And they're all small-scale family-run operations.
Okay, but is there any exemption allowed for if your house isn't suitable for rental? Does the issue of perhaps being pushed towards the long-term rental sector even represent a risk to you?
It represents a risk, but the thing is you can choose whether you want to go into the long-term rental sector or not, and most of our members have already stated that they do not want to go into the long-term rental sector because they've been working in the tourism market for many years. Yep. Their property may be on, you know, part of a farm. It may not be suited to a long-term rental, maybe not be suited to winter rental. And so they have that's their choice, their decision. And they've worked in this industry for many years.
Would you appreciate, though, that there are areas? Take, for example, you know, I've done programmes myself and listened to reports on the situation in the Gaeltacht, where there are people who live in areas where there are a lot of short-term rentals who can't rent themselves. And it's not only affecting people's ability to grow communities in the area, but also affecting things like, for example, the Irish language in places like Connemara, Donegal and in Kerry.
And coming from a Gaeltacht myself, I understand it perfectly, but the situation is to do with planning. It is not the fault or the cause by the short-term rental sector. I remember when I was a child, I'm from Ballongeirrig, and we used to go down to Ballinartarrig in Kerry. We would take part of a house down there. Same with the Aran Islands in the 70s and in the 80s. It was a converted cowshed, you know, but that was the situation then. We are not the cause of the issue in the Gaeltachts. That is actually caused by planning issues.
Right,
we're being scapegoated.
But if it, to what degree can more housing be put into these areas? Or is there ultimately going to be a finite situation where a choice will have to be made between long and short-term lets and the government has to try and strike a balance on this in the regulations it implements?
I don't think there is. I mean, I think government needs to put in housing in villages and towns. They need to designate land which can allow for building to be built on in villages all over the country. They had, you know, they have had this issue for some years, but it's been exacerbated by the housing crisis now. We didn't cause the housing crisis, so therefore, you know, we feel that we should not be scapegoated. And there are properties that were in those areas, for example, built as holiday schemes. Many of them are now being used as long-term rentals or even permanently lived in, and they have STR planning on them. And for us, that's another issue. We call them a ghost STR property. Should those people be asked to leave those houses? I don't think so.
So what, I mean, in the situation where somebody doesn't want to apply for SDR planning and also, you know, doesn't want to be pushed in that direction, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're just going to leave the house simply empty, not make any use of it? Or will ultimately they have to make a decision on it to sign up and register and apply for the SDR planning or put it on the long-term rental market? You're not suggesting that the houses are going to stay just empty, are you?
That's exactly what my suggestion is. That is what people are saying. That they do, they have been a tourism product offering tourism accommodation for many years, and that is where they want to stay.
Okay. And the scheme as it applies at the moment, if you're letting a property for over, or a property for 21 days or less, and if you're in an area with a population over 10,000, the government has said their plan will ban effectively planning permissions for commercial short-term lettings in many cases. Is that the scheme at the moment?
That is the proposal at the moment. Even though places say like Killarney would be 15,000, they wouldn't be allowing it in Killarney, but they would be allowing it in Westport because the population of Westport is just under 7,000. So they are using rules which have been developed for places like Barcelona and Amsterdam, who have a population of 1.6 million, in rural towns such as Tremor and Ballina in County Mayo.
Okay, well, seeing as you mentioned Westport, we're going to turn our attention there because Pat Flynn is there, Fine Gael councillor and the Cathaoirleach. Pat, you raised the issue of short-term lets, and there have been calls for a tax, is it, on short-term lets? What issues are at play in Westport in terms of pressures on accommodation?
Yeah, so it's very much a Mayo issue, a Westport issue in particular, where we've seen a huge rise in the number of short-term lets in our town centres in Mayo. And that's where, I suppose, the real focus is on standalone apartments, standalone homes within our town centres. What Maura's talking about, I have no difficulty about it, where you don't have options in terms of hotels and hostels and so forth in rural areas. But in our town centres, we have a major, major difficulties at the moment where people simply cannot rent or buy a house. And that's where I honestly believe the focus needs to be from a government point of view, from a council point of view, to try and bring these homes back into the market for local people to live and to be part of the local community. We're ripping the souls out of our town centre. We need people to be living there. We need to live in vibrant places. We don't want transient communities where people are just coming in for the night, two nights, and disappearing again. It's not what we require.
And Pat, the apartments you're talking about in the centre of Westport, are they apartments that once upon a time were in the long-term rental sector and have been moved to short-term lets? Or were they always on short-term let?
And that's exactly it, Colm. Mm. These are homes and apartments that would have been long-term let. And people are moving out them, and I can understand why. The taxation system, for starters, is completely skewed towards short-term letting, where you can offset loads of expenses, you can get the lower rate of a tax on it, whereas if you're long-term lets, everything is at the high rate of tax, and a lot of the normal expenses are non-tax deductible. The system that we have in Ireland as well, in terms of letting, it doesn't make it easy for landlords. And I mean, if you look in Europe and look at the way they set it up, it's geared towards long-term leases. People rent the structure and then they fit it out themselves. I think we need to really look, I mean, we need to look at the planning system, but I think we need to look at the taxation system, and we also need to look at the way we deal with our tenancy agreements. Because right now, anyone in the long-term market are saying, hey, I can make 2,000 euros a week in short-term less versus probably about 1,400-1,500 per month, which is taxed at the high rate. So it's an easy decision for people to make.
And when you hear Maura saying that, you know, people would just prefer to leave properties empty rather than put them in the long-term rental market with all that entails, what do you say?
Well, look, if people are in their financial situation, they're in a play that they can leave a building unoccupied, I can't imagine there's too many people in that situation around the country. I can certainly tell you in the Westport area, given the mortgages that people have associated with properties, I would be stunned if that was the case. But it needs radical reform right throughout, Colm. It's not just simply talking about Airbnbs and holiday homes. It's talking about the tax system, and it's talking about the way we do our tenancy agreements.
All right. Maura, is is it a kind of a minority amongst people who would be able to leave a property empty, or are people dependent on the short-term lets as an income source, and maybe they would be left with a difficult choice but ultimately have to opt for long-term rental?
I think that we're conflating things here. If somebody has been in the long-term rental up to, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, they should not be allowed to continue in the short-term rental at this stage. They should be in the RTB already, and that should be evident. Because there is a lack of clear register in Ireland, this has been allowed to happen by government. So we need a balanced system which will give data on the existing properties that are there, and then going forward allow for further development of SDR if it's needed. But again, we need a baseline data, and I agree with Councillor Finn that is not there. But it also has to be said that in County Mayo there's an awful lot of unfinished estates all over the place. Why not start with those? So for example, somebody sent me data on saying that there was 80 unfinished properties in Ballina, 91 in Swinford Castlebar area, 17 Castlebar and 91 in Swinford Clare Morris area. Why not start with those? Why attack the small businesses all around rural Ireland?
All right. Pat, the situation with, the hotels, pubs, restaurants in Westport and people who work there maybe on a seasonal basis, or, people on a pretty low income who are there who are not property owners. Where do they live? What rentals do they secure in those areas?
People are coming from all over. I know people that are living in Roscommon that are commuting to Westport right now. I know people living in County Galway who are commuting to Westport right now. If you look on daft.ie this morning, if you will find any more than 20 properties in the entirety of Mayo, you will be doing well. And look, I hear what Maura is saying, that people are looking to leave houses unoccupied if they can't go down the tourism route. But I mean, we got to think about this. Nearly everyone under the age of 40 right now is locked out of the housing market. And it is a complex problem. I mean, there's no one single silver bullet that's going to sort this out. But I do believe we all have a moral obligation to try and ensure that we don't have this exodus of our younger people in our 20s, 30s, who are leaving the country in their droves because of the fact that they cannot become part of a property owner or property letter in the country. And that means we all need to stand up and recognise that issue that's happening. We can ignore it, but we're going to find ourselves in a very, very scary situation in 10, 15, 20 years' time when it becomes a very old country.
Well, what Maura has already said is this is a government issue and a government failure, and your party is in government, that it's a government failure to provide the adequate housing that's putting the squeeze on her sector in the short-term self-catering sector.
I agree and I disagree. I mean, it's such a complex issue. There's no, as I say, a magic solution for this. We need to increase the supply. There's no question about that. But again, you have the issue of finding tradespeople to build the properties, to find developers, particularly small developers, is a major challenge. So many people are moving out to the trade sector and moving into the likes of multinationals and other areas with the certainty of jobs and salaries and everything that goes with it. That's one aspect of it. But we have another cohort of property which is built, which is occupied on a short-term basis or on a holiday home basis, in my view. We should be targeting that particular area, particularly, as I say, in town centres, where we need to get people back living and getting vibrant town centres. We have hotels, we have hostels, we have B&Bs, so there are alternatives within our towns. So it's a combined approach for certain. We talk about getting the supply needs to be up, there's no doubt about that. We need to get more people into the professions of tradespeople, but we also need to ensure that the existing supply that is already there is brought back into use. And Maura is absolutely right in terms of unfinished estates. I could name multiple estates around Mayo which have sat idle since the recession. And it's just really hard to fathom how the council are allowing properties like that to sit derelict and vacant while we have this housing crisis going on.
All right. And Peter, apologies. I called you Pat a couple of times there. And
that's all right, Colin. I've been called worse.
Sorry. I've all right. Maura, we have a text in from Una in Leitrim. She says, we have a shepherd's hut in rural Leitrim that we rent to tourists, usually 5 days max. It's not suitable for long-term rental. Asking us to get planning for it is ridiculous. That's the text we have in on that. Are they the kind of properties you're talking about, or You know, can you see an argument for longer term properties in areas where there is high tourism activity? Longer term rental properties are needed for the people who work in that sector that make sure people coming in, people who work in hotels, bars, restaurants and the like.
I agree with Una that that is the kind of property that we are saying are going to be in the future. There'll be a lot more of those shepherd's huts and glamping in place. But what I say about the pubs, the restaurants, the bars, they have accommodation overhead, which is quite often either sitting empty or maybe on a short-term rental. It's up to them to provide the accommodation for their own staff. It is not the job of the SME woman who owns a property out of the country to do that.
Okay. All right. My thanks to Maureen Nuwara, who's CEO of the Irish Self-Catering Federation, and Peter Flynn, Fine Gael councillor in Westport. Now, later in the show, plans for a crackdown on cosmetic cowboys and what's the length of a perfect pop song. But coming up next, we take a closer look at maternity care in Ireland.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.